Do you have your shirt on?
Last I checked, I did. Yes, why?
Weapons Radio. Do you have your shirt on?
Weapons Radio. Weapons Radio, Episode 3, Fort in Westcombe. This, the White Pages.
Hello, Reds fans. This is Mike from WhackReds.com. You're listening to Whack Reds Radio. This is Episode 3, 14 Questions Edition. Today we have Russ White from the White Pages, an online Reds blog. Russ, how you doing?
Pretty good. How are you?
Doing good. First of all, I want you to pitch your blog for our listeners.
Well, my site is primarily Reds. I also have Bengals coverage on there, too. It's white, W-I-G-H-T, 4256.blogspot.com. The white is my last name, and the 4256, I hope a lot of your listeners know, is Pete Rose's all-time hit total. I also write for the NFL Blog Blitz, which is on off of NFL.com. I started writing back when 1530 Homer in Cincinnati had the Lot B website, and really got into it there, and then when they shut down, started the Blogspot blog to just kind of keep it going.
What sites would you recommend for fellow Reds fans and bloggers?
I just recently discovered WhackReds.com, and also the ML Blogs, which I also have one there. It's just a duplicate of my content. I started my own blog because I do the Bengals as well, but ML Blogs, fans sign up on Major League Baseball's site and they can make a blog with a template of their team, and Mark Sheldon from MLB.com has a blog there, as does Jamie Ramsey, the PR guy I believe he is, with the Reds. There's also John Fay's blog I read regularly, you know, just some of the other typicals, Red Reporter, Red Leg Nation, Bleacher Report, I write there too. So, you know, there's a lot of great Reds opinions out there.
All right, with opening day approaching real soon, what would be your overall prediction of the Reds this year? I've noticed on the site you've already profiled the rotation, the bullpen, and the infield, including the catcher.
Well, the outfield, I think, you know, obviously it's going to be Bruce and Wright, and I think Stubbs is primarily going to play center field. He's been on fire lately. I know he had a homer today, I think he'll play center field primarily, and then I think we're going to see Dickerson and Gomes in left field, and then I think they will add Nix to the 40-man roster to come off the bench, and if it's me, you have to have Paul Janisch on the bench, somebody who can play second, third, short, and as we saw last year, unfortunately, even pitch.
Yeah, I guess you're not a big fan of Miguel Cairo, or are you?
Well, I mean, I know he plays a lot of first base. To me, as long as everything's okay off the field, Votto's in there 162 games and never comes out.
Yeah, I agree. A couple questions here about pitching. Aaron Harang is coming off 2 6-win season. He's actually 12-31 over the past 2 years. Do you think he's going to have a comeback year? And do you think Bronson Arroyo is going to repeat what he's been doing and get double-digit wins again?
Harang, you know, last year I thought was the comeback year, and obviously wasn't. He has been getting hit here in spring training, and I read a quote from Dusty Baker this morning and said, "I'm not concerned about the results." And I wrote, you know, well, that's all well and good, but come Monday, we're concerned about the results. You know, and I know a little bit about pitching, but not enough to figure out what the heck is wrong with him. We'll have to wait and see. With Arroyo, he's going to eat innings. He's going to give you an 8 innings and one hit, one run, and then he's going to give up 6 and 3 innings the next the next start out. I expect double-digit wins out of him. I know they said he's been laying off the guitar, so hopefully the carpal tunnel won't bother him, and he'll be good to go.
Yeah, they're going to be a big key to the Red success this year, and being their contract years, they might not be with us next year, so hope the best for both of them.
Yep.
And keeping on the topic of pitching, I got to ask the obvious question. Aroldis Chapman, what do you think of this guy? We'll probably know who the fifth starter is when this episode of Whack Reds Radio airs, but I want to hear it from you, Mike Leake, Travis Wood, and where do you think Matt Maloney and Justin Lehrer will fit in this year?
I would not put Lehrer or Maloney in the bullpen simply for the reason I like Owings in the bullpen as a long man and Burton as well, even though Burton hasn't pitched all that well this spring. But I like Owings in the bullpen because you've got his bat on the bench. You know, and that's almost driving like an extra player because you don't have to hit for him, or you can have him hit for the starter. Chapman, I kind of got the feeling the Reds didn't want him to start the season in Cincinnati because they didn't want to see, you know, by chance their $30 million investment get lit up like a Christmas tree. Marty Brenneman said the other day on one of the pregame shows that he'll start the year in Carolina instead of Louisville, which I think he will too, just to let him kind of fly under the radar a little bit more. When I saw him pitch, it was pretty amazing. I mean, the kid has got some serious, serious stuff. He's fun to watch. He's fun to watch, and I think he's going to be a good pitcher for a long time.
Yeah, they've made it clear he's pretty much out of the competition for the fifth starter.
Right.
You said you heard he's going to be in Double A.
Well, that's what Marty had predicted, because a lot of people are saying, when the obvious thing would be put him in Louisville. Marty Brenneman said that he thought he would go to Carolina instead, mm-hmm. which I think that would be better for him, although I live in Columbus and Louisville plays the Triple A team here, so I'd like to see him come to
Absolutely.
Go to Louisville if I could go watch him. But yeah, and then I think because Wood's pitching tonight at 10 o'clock, I think. Yeah, I think barring a blow-up that Wood would probably get the fifth starter spot simply for the experience factor that he has a little bit and Leake has none. Although I really, really like Leake. He's got kind of that quiet cockiness that, you know, he's not outspoken cocky, but he's very confident in his ability to get, you know, big league hitters out.
Yeah, he refers to himself as Godzilla. I don't know if you've heard that.
Yeah.
All right, who would be your favorite current Reds player? If you have one, and why?
My favorite current player, I would probably say, is Votto. And the reason being is I like the guy who, he's not the fastest, he's not the strongest, but he's, you know, the hardest worker, it seems, or one of the hardest workers. Uh-huh. He's a quiet guy, just goes out, does his thing. You know, whether he strikes out four times or goes 4-for-4, you really can't tell after the game in a post-game interview. He's pretty much an even keel. And after all that stuff last year, his personal stuff off the field, I really developed a lot of respect for him when he came out and, you know, a lot of respect personally for him when he came out and explained everything, which he didn't need to do. You know, it wasn't any of our business what was going on with him off the field, but, you know, I gained a lot more respect for him as a person after he did that.
All right, so far this spring, we've obviously moved to Arizona this year after being in Sarasota, Florida for years. Our spring numbers so far are not that great. Our record, I think, after today's game is 10-15 with a few ties thrown in there. What do you say is the effect of the spring training numbers on the regular season? Does it matter?
No, I don't think so, because a lot of guys, spring training is just more of a formality, just go out there, play around, and leave. And guys like Roland, Cabrera, Votto, even though he hasn't been in the league, you know, nearly as long, Hernandez, Arroyo and Harang, you know, they've been around the block. They know when to turn it on, and they know, you know, that it's go time. And, you know, I mean, I've seen teams, you know, go 500 in spring training and win the pennant. I don't know for sure, but I believe the 1990 team, you know, there's been so much talk about that with the anniversary. I believe they were right around 500 or a couple games below in spring training.
All right, speaking of the 1990 team, we've been doing player profiles comparing each position, celebrating the anniversary over at WAC Reds. Who would be your favorite player from the 1990 team, and do you have any specific memories from that season?
Favorite player, probably Sabo, because, you know, for a lot of the same reasons I said with Votto, is, you know, not the fastest, not the strongest, not the best, but, you know, he was the hard-nosed, you know, hustler and, you know, kind of the Pete Rose type Cincinnati always was. The memories of that season were, you know, I was 14 and, you know, it was kind of surreal. I mean, just, I can remember when they clinched, when it was that rain delay, and I forget who lost, the Dodgers or somebody lost, and then that meant that they clinched, and I can remember just kind of feeling like, wow, they're in the playoffs. I mean, I kind of didn't know what it meant at the time. I was fortunate enough to go to the NLCS games 1, 2, and 6 in the first game of the World Series, and game 6 of that NLCS is still my most memorable sporting event I've ever been to. I remember you could actually feel Old Riverfront move. It felt like that. The place was rocking so much with the MC Hammer, you can't touch this, and all of that stuff. But we were sitting in the right field red seat, so when Glenn Bragg made that catch up against the wall in the 8th or 9th inning, we couldn't see it. We couldn't tell if the ball was gone or not. And then, you know, when everybody else started cheering, then we started cheering.
Yeah, that's
But it was awesome. It was pretty surreal.
Got to ask you a little personal question. Do you watch Dancing with the Stars?
I do.
And you're obviously a Bengals fan. What do you think of Ocho Cinco's performance, and how do you predict him doing?
You know, and I take crap at work from my friends about Ocho Cinco, although the Steelers fans don't have much to say lately. With him, I've always said he's never been in trouble with the law. He doesn't beat his girlfriend. He doesn't drink and drive and all this kind of stuff. No drugs. It's always, you know, in good fun and so forth. And he's always put up relatively good numbers. And the Dancing with the Stars thing, I like it. It's entertaining. To be honest, the reason I watched the show in the past was I'll be sitting on a couch with my laptop and my wife turns it on. You know, there's a bunch of hot chicks out there dancing with hardly any clothes on, so, you know, anybody's going to take a look. But with Chad, I thought it was really cool the first week how, you know, because it was like a fun, loose, you know, kind of dance. I think with the, I forget what the dance was called or whatever, but the kind of formal thing he didn't do too well at. But my kids and I, you know, we go on the internet and vote for him and stuff. We think it's pretty neat.
Back to the Reds. Brandon Phillips is going to bat cleanup this year. Do you agree with that? Or do you think Roland, Joey Votto, do you think they're better suited for the role?
I think Votto's the best hitter, and kind of the unwritten rule is the best hitter hits third because you know he's going to hit in the first inning. I like Phillips fourth. The reason being is I don't like Bruce fourth because that would put him and Votto back-to-back. I like Roland stuck in the middle because Roland is such a professional hitter that I think it will give Phillips better pitches to hit. I think it'll take a little pressure off of him and maybe allow him to get, you know, he's a slow starter usually, maybe allow him to get going a little sooner. Because remember, the Reds were 27-13 or something like that, I think, when Roland played last year. I think he's a big, big key. And, you know, with an acquisition that a lot of people thought, what the heck is going on, you know, when they traded for him. But it's, you know, if he can stay healthy, he's going to be really important to this club, I think.
Yeah, it's going to be good to have a whole season with him. And one thing I liked about him was he wanted to come to Cincinnati, and I always like when players do that.
Right, and I guess I didn't even know, but I read the other day he's from Indiana. Somewhere in Indiana, I guess. So he's
grew up rooting for the Reds.
Right, yeah, family nearby, so hopefully, you know, it won't be just another trade deadline and he's out of here type of deal.
All right, we ask everybody this question on 14 questions. Describe your love-hate relationship with the game of baseball.
It's weird. It's always been a love. I've loved it ever since I could remember. I was born in 1975, so I always say, you know, I was kind of destined to be a Reds fan. My grandfather was born in 1919, so, I told my son, you know, when he was born in 2004, he had a lot to live up to, but unfortunately they didn't get it done then. But it's always been a love, and when I was younger, I would beat myself up over, they lost, you know, so-and-so made an error, and Tom Browning got hit and hard and, you know, whatever. But as I've gotten older, I've, you know, been able to enjoy it more. Not, you know, I don't get all worked up over a loss. I just like going to the games. I like watching them. I like teaching, you know, my kids about the game. And, you know, and this year is going to be really, really cool with the 1990 exhibit at the Hall of Fame. just to go there and, you know, and show my wife and say, oh, I remember this, and you know, and show the kids this and that, and, you know, relive some of the memories myself. And it's a great game that generations pass down, you know, from one to another. My grandfather, my dad, me, my kids, you know, and hopefully it just keep going.
Cool. With opening day just around the corner, you've already told us some memories of the 90 World Series and some of your past experience with the Reds. What would be your favorite opening day memory? Are you going? I'm actually going for the first time this year, and do you have any advice for me?
Advice would be don't plan on going to the machine room restaurant if you like to do that, because you will not get in there if you don't get there before, you know, like 11:30 or something. This will be my, I think, 10th or 11th in a row. I've probably been to maybe 20 or so opening days. It's great. You know, I remember my parents taking me out of school and, you know, the teacher saying, well, why is he missing school? Because it's opening day. That's why, you know. And, you know, we take our kids out of school and we always go down the night before, stay in a hotel. We go down to the gift shop. And the last couple of years, actually, on Sunday, they've had the stadium opened for batting practice. And you can actually walk right in there and watch the Reds hit. It's usually like, I don't know, maybe 3-4 o'clock on Sunday. And last 2 years, we've gotten to see that. And 1 year, they even had free hot dogs at the concession stands. It was really cool. But opening day is great for the pageantry and the parade and all of that. It's usually more about all of that than it is the actual game. But, you know, I love it, and I'll continue to go as long as I can. Whatever you plan to do it about an hour earlier than you would if it was June the 10th on a Tuesday or whatever.
Gotcha. All right, what can we expect from the White Pages this season? And once again, tell us how to get to your site and any upcoming plans for the blog.
WIGHT4256.blogspot.com. I did a lot of, you know, just game recap, preview this series, preview that series. I've switched to a lot more, I don't know, maybe analysis or opinion. Like, I wrote an article several weeks ago. It was the 10 years since Ken Griffey Jr. was traded to the Reds, and, you know, remembering when the kid came home and that type of a deal. But I just continue to do that. And, you know, I probably post at least 4 or 5 times a week. I'm going to have a lot more pictures and video this year than I did last year. Keep that going. You know, keep looking for other good blogs out there. And I better say to cnatty.com. C. Trent would not like it if I didn't mention that.
Yeah, that's another great blog.
Yeah, it's a great site for Reds and Bengals and UC Xavier, whatever. It's a lot of good Reds sites out there.
Last question always revolves around the 1963 Rookie of the Year. You obviously are a fan with 4256 in your call letters. What are your general thoughts on the Hit King? Does he deserve to be in the Hall of Fame? Just give me a rundown of number 14.
I have loved him. He's been my favorite player from day one. When he was banned, I didn't believe it. I said he didn't bet on baseball, and I fought with people. And then when it came out that he did, and he admitted that he had lied all those years, I kind of felt betrayed, you know, on some level. And I read his book cover to cover, and I just thought to myself, you know, what do I make of this? And I just kind of concluded to separate that between the lines. I would want, you know, to have my son emulate him, how he actually played the game, all out, 100% effort, you know, played hurt, you know, and the whole deal. But, you know, off the field, you know, it's a completely different thing, you know, managing and with the gambling and so forth. It's, you know, Pete had some character issues. Actually, I've met him several times, but actually saw him in Las Vegas in October. We were there. And he was nice. It was, you know, it was nice. And I thought, too, maybe the last time I ever saw him in person. But I think he should definitely be in the Hall of Fame. You know, the object of the hitter when you go up to the plate is to get a base hit.
Yeah.
He did it more times than anyone else ever did. You know, as much as I love baseball, I have never been to Cooperstown, and I have no desire to go until he's in there.
Well, there you go.
Yep.
Well, Russ, thanks a lot for the time. Everybody keep checking out the White Pages. Can't wait for the upcoming season, and we'll get back together soon once the season gets underway, and we'll do this again. You got anything else to add?
Nope, that's it. Nope. Love your guys' site, too, and go Reds.
All right, thanks a lot, Russ. This is Whack Reds Radio. See ya.
All right.
I've eaten ribs all over the country.